All right. I want to draw your attention back to 1 Samuel 17 for a little while this evening. We're going to close out the service tonight in a little while by having all those that are going on this trip to Haiti gather around the front and ask Edward to lead us in prayer, praying that God would give us protection and help, and that we could be a blessing in labors as well as in spirit. But for now, let's look again here in this passage of Scripture. One of these days, I might preach on the whole thought that's wrapped up in here. But tonight, I'm just going to cover a little bit what I feel on my heart for this evening. I like this verse that I read this morning, verse number 29, where David asked that question, is there not a cause? There is a cause. We have a cause. One of the things that I can't get around here, you know, with all of the reproach that Eliab brings to David. And then it indicates that perhaps as he, in verse 30, that he turned from him to another as though he turned from Eliab to another brother. And that brother spoke after the same manner. And here were his heroes, his big brothers. They were raised in the same home, in the same family, to serve the same God. And David was maybe he was a little bit ashamed of his brothers. Maybe he was a little bit embarrassed by his brothers. But I think that would go beyond that, that he was amazed at the spinelessness of his brothers. Because David was brought up in such an atmosphere or in such a home where God was real. God was near. God was a vital part of their lives. Maybe it changed when these brothers of David's went off to war and became servants of the king. Maybe they developed a different perspective. You know, sometimes that kind of thing happens, even though it's a Christian environment. And surely Saul's warfare, his soldiers, his army, surely would be considered a Christian environment as such. But things changed somewhere along the line, and Eliab and these other brothers were not the same. They didn't feel the necessity as they used to look to God, for whatever reason. Maybe David was amazed at that. But even in the midst of that contempt that came from the brothers, David still held to the reality that there was a cause. I mean, that's what he said. Is there not a cause? Maybe you could even hear it in David's voice as he asked his brothers that question. Is there not a cause? If there's not a cause, brothers, then why don't you get back home? Dad needs some help. If there's not a cause, then why are we playing war games? Forget about the cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians stuff here. Let's get back home to where the rubber meets the road. If there's not a cause here, then quit fooling around. Now, I know that some people would say, no, wait a minute, they're in the army. They have a cause. Well, what is the cause? We can say that we have a cause for doing all the things that we do. But what is the cause? What is the purpose? What is the reason behind it? Is there a cause that is strong enough to drive us on in the midst of what we're doing that is a cause worth living for and then laying your life on the line and dying for? There's not too many things that you and I are willing to die for. You know, really. There's not a whole lot of things in our lives that we're willing to die for. That's why when it comes to road rage, most of us will just as soon back off from road rage because, you know, it's just not worth dying over. Somebody said, you got to be careful of those crazy people out there. There might be guns in them cars. Well, there might be guns in some of ours too, but that's not the point. You know, it's just that sometimes there's a cause out there that's just not worth fighting over. There's some battles that we face that just aren't worth drawing lines for. David felt like there was something here worth hanging on to. Something here worth fighting for. Something here worth standing up for. The cause that we have needs for someone to stand up and be counted. Be counted as one of those that believes God, believes in God, and that God, or the cause of the gospel, is able to tear down the strongholds of the enemy, or the Goliaths of our day. We don't have to go very far and realize that we live in a land of giants. We live in a land of giants politically. We live in a land of giants spiritually. We live in a land of giants in every facet of our lives. Economics, we're looking at giants. Personal issues, we look at giants. Family issues, we look at giants. We're looking at giants everywhere. Probably the most glaring of our giants that we see is that of economics. We might see the glaring aspect of giants in the political arena. But probably the most dangerous of our giants that we face today are on the level of the spiritual. Because what we're seeing in our generation today is a drift away from biblical truth and a strong tie to the cause. Because people are not willing to lay down their life or to draw a line and say, no, we're not going any further than this right here. This is worth fighting for. Some things are worth fighting for. And it was this very cause that was worth fighting for in David's life that kind of fired him up, if you please. It lit him up. It got him on his feet. Somehow, this particular picture that was taking place here on the battlefront was reminding David of times past where God helped him. It was that fire that had been ignited some time ago against a lion and a bear that helped him to stand up in this day. Now, the causes are completely different, aren't they? The lion and the bear, what was it over? It was simply over the loss of a sheep or two, a few sheep. He didn't have very many, apparently. Eliab said something about left those few sheep. Who have you left those few sheep with? You insignificant little brother? But it was the memory of what had taken place out there with those insignificant few sheep that helped David stand up when the cause was real time. You know, it takes a real shepherd to keep the lion and the bear from the sheep. So we don't want to minimize the cause. He had a cause, he had a responsibility, and he felt that responsibility, he felt that obligation. It'd be nice to find more people with that kind of commitment to responsibility. Oh, that's just a little sheep. Next year she'll have two more. What's one? Go ahead, lion, I'm not going to risk my life for you. But no, he had a commitment to that one little sheep. Maybe it was a lamb, or maybe it was a full-grown sheep. Next year another one will produce two more. What's the problem with losing one? You know, there's people are like that. Even in the church realm, oh, I don't need to be that committed to this task. It's not that big of a job. It's not that big of a responsibility. It's not that big. Jesus actually told us that if we're responsible in small things, that we will be able to be responsible in bigger things. It was the fire that was lit underneath him in those times of maybe insignificant responsibility that helped him stand when the responsibility may not have been his, but nobody else was taking it either, but it helped him to step up to the plate. What a responsibility that he had there. As it seemed like he was the only one that was willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, if you please, against accusing family members, against the discouragement of the family. But there was a cause that was standing up for him to make his voice heard. Now, it got him into some hot water because then he was called to present himself to the king. Now, that's probably frightening. The king summoned little David. And so he went and he stood at the king, and the king looked at him with that same kind of contemptuous look, that doubtful look that came from his brothers. Why, you're just a child. How in the world do you think that you're going to fight against this man? Sounds just like the devil, doesn't it? Have you heard him talking to you about that? Your responsibilities? Oh, you can't do that. There's no way that you're able to do that. That's too big. You don't want to get yourself bogged down to it. You don't want to be wrapped up so tight. That'll really clamp your style. You're not going to be able to be free to come and go as you want to. You're not going to be able to do what you want to. You're going to have some responsibility. You can't do that. Now, one thing that you have to notice about King Saul is that he's not a Monday morning quarterback making accusation against David or critiquing David. King Saul was a man of war as well. Just like Goliath was, King Saul was a man of war as well, like I said this morning, on a smaller scale. King Saul wasn't just someone sitting back as Monday morning quarterback as the picture might unfold to critique somebody else when they were sitting back and had no hand in it. You know, it's easy to do that too. Criticize somebody else, but we don't get up and do it. No, that wasn't Saul. He was one that was out there and knew what it was to face enemies, and he was giving some critical eye to David. But David still felt like there was a cause. Now, without going through the entire picture here, let's get down to what the cause was. What was the cause that David felt so strong in his heart? What was the cause that he was looking at? Was it just simply being victorious? Was that the only cause? Now, it's hard. I will admit that it's hard to lose. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, I don't want to lose. I don't like to lose. Some of you know that. I don't like to lose. Maybe it was the cause of just simply being the winner here. Do you think that could possibly be it? You read through that chapter there to see if you can find anything about being victorious just because he hated to lose. I don't think that was there. I don't think you'll find that. But I do think that what you'll find here is down in verses number 45 and 46. If you have your Bible turned to 1 Samuel 17, you can follow along. The Philistine had just challenged David, "Come to me," in verse 44, "and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." You know, we could spend some time there just letting our imagination run wild with what that picture might have, how it might have been painted. Big old Goliath and little David. And the Philistine wasn't just being boastful, it was a reality. He could have plucked him up. David, though, verse number 45, he said, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Here was his cause, whom thou hast defied." This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Now remember, David didn't even have a dagger in his pocket, let alone a sword. He said, I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses, not just your carcass, Goliath, but the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast. He turns it around. What was the cause? Here was a man that had defied God himself. And here is the second part of why David felt the cause. He said that the earth may know that there is, let me add a word there, okay? That there is still a God. The word still isn't in your King James rendering, but I believe that it still fits there. Because all the armies of Israel, Saul and his armies, were not portraying to the people of Philistia that there was a God that was able to save by many or by few, as he had done in times past. But David was wanting the earth to know that it didn't matter how many people, it only mattered who was going to stand up and be used and be counted as one of God's soldiers. That the earth may know that there is still a God in Israel. Do we have a cause this evening? Is there a cause for which you and I are willing to lay down our life? We can say that the cause that we ought to have is that of evangelism, and that is a good cause. You say that we ought to have the cause about us or something strong enough about us to proclaim the blood of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying humanity. And that is what we ought to be doing. But you know, Jesus really gave us the cause when He said that His people are to be like the salt of the earth and the light unto the world. That includes evangelism, but that also means in the context of both of those little stories, both of those little scenarios that he gives, that we are to be the proclaimer that there is a God in Israel. And the world looks on at us and they look at our lives, and the only God they may ever know is the God that they see in us. I sang a song at Caleb's dedication, and in that song it said, help him, or something about him seeing Jesus in me, because the only Jesus he'll ever see is the one that he sees in me. Help me be an example, or something along that line. I forget the words to it all, but that was the gist of part of it. The world will only see God in you and I. What kind of a God are we portraying to them? I already made mention of it this morning after Benjamin testified, but it's such a reality. Does the world see the God in us through the week that we say we come to church to worship on Sunday? You see, we have a cause to portray to the world around us that there is a reality to what we're doing. There is a cause for why we are the way we are, and that is to be a light to a sin-darkened world, to be salt in the earth, and that salt is an ever-changing element in the places that it comes in contact. Salt doesn't do nothing when it comes in contact with something. It's always at work, and if it's lost its savor, it is good for nothing but be thrown out and to be trodden over by the foot of men. But salt in its proper form is changing its environment. You see, we have a cause. We can't do everything across the world. We can't do everything even in the state of Indiana. But we need to do our best to do our part to carry the cause that we have to be salt and light to this area, to our families, to our peoples. We have a cause coming this week over the next 10 days. We need God's help in the cause that some have been called to do. It's not everybody has the opportunity or the privilege of going overseas and being involved with the big, exciting part. Now, there's some people that are just tremendously excited about this trip. My boys have been bouncing off the wall this afternoon. And I'm glad that they're excited. That's exciting to know that they're excited. But there is a cause, and other people are called upon to stay behind and pray for those that are going. Our cause, we would think of as, well, it's just pounding nails and putting on a roof and whatever. Hopefully more than one roof, but working. But there's another cause that's underlying that as the main cause, and that is to be a spiritual blessing to those that we come in contact. We need God's help. So as we go and dismiss from this service tonight, I'd like for all of the ones that are going on the trip to come up here, gather around the front, kneel at the altar around here at the front, and as many as want to gather in behind them. I want Edward to come and lead us in prayer and pray that God would give His anointing. Let's gather in.
Labor, oh God, to be a blessing, yes, to them so that they can more, yes, effectively do the work that they Father, we've heard many times about how there is a spiritual darkness that covers that land.
Yes.
We just pray that you would help our people as they go over there, Lord. We pray that somehow you will surround them,
Lord,
and help them to overcome that spiritual oppression and heaviness, and Lord, that you would help them to be a bright, shining light amidst that darkness. Father, we pray for everyone that stays behind. We know there are spouses, there are children being left behind. We ask you, Lord, for your blessing upon each one of them, that you would help them during this time of separation from loved ones. We ask you, Lord, that you would just anoint each one of these that's going. We ask you for your blessing upon them on every part of the journey, that you would protect them and bless them. Father, we pray for, as we close out this service tonight, for each one of us, that you would help us as we go into this week, help us.